Can we start talking about Sex and the City straight away?
Well, first thing is, like, we're going to have to announce the fact, because the type of episodes they were, like, spoiler alert. If you have not seen the episode,
major spoiler alert.
You have to go, like...
We can't not talk about
it. No. I was going to, like, if spoilers were raisins, this is a barn burner. Like, literally. Hi, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Sarah. And welcome to
Good Luck with the Book. The podcast that celebrates all things books with plenty of news, stories, and chats. I have a checklist here, not a checklist, our kind of like running order of things to talk about, but I think I certainly felt in shock after yesterday's episode, after watching it last night. I don't know how you felt. Like, it's quite big, like... Oh God, it's going to be a load of puns. It's a big moment.
Yeah, because I heard that he wasn't in it, you see. And then he was in it, so I was like, oh, he's in it.
Yeah.
But not for long.
No, not at all. Oh my God. Like, I have to say, when it came up. Firstly, what do you think of the actual font they used for the...
Tacky.
It was very...
Like 1990s. It was very 1990s.
It's kind of, do you remember Steel Magnolias back in the even 80s? I felt it was almost like the Steel Magnolias font. It was very like...
And I don't like the name of it.
Like, I just don't think they could have gone for the same Sex and the City. I don't know that...
Because they're in their 50s?
No, not even... It's not even that people... I'm not saying that, like, oh, God.
No, I know. I know you're sex. Not. That's
what but I actually think as well, people in their 50s maybe have... not moved on from it. I'm not saying at all, because I mean, people are sexual their whole lives and that's fine, but does it dominate their life? That, you know, do we have other things that start to, like, I also know in my late 30s, compared to being 21, my relationship with sex has changed. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Especially being a man, because they say a woman's sex drive is much more even through her life, but like at 21, like, that was dominated my thinking, like, substantially dominated my thinking, and now it's still a thing, but it's not at the same level of like
the thing.
Yeah, the thing. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So you know, I was definitely what's not Steve Brady. The what's the son called?
Brady.
Brady. Young Brady. Brady. Whatever. So I mean, I don't know how you want to break this down today in terms of the episode.
Yeah,
but for me, there felt like three sections in terms of the episode. There was the opening section where it was kind of the setup again of the girls, the restaurant, and that. And that felt very much like trying to just get us up to speed. Then there was this middle section, which I truly thought was awful. Like, absolutely, really dark. Bad. And I think we have to talk about Miranda as well, because I think Miranda has slowly, bit by bit, become the star of the whole lot over the years. Yeah. I really do. It's funny, I actually think she's the most realized... believable character of all of them. Just whatever about this new series, I think she is you know, in the movies she saved the first movie. I thought her and Steve on the bridge was actually the only really emotional bit of the whole film for me. I felt their story is the most real. I care about their relationship.
And my favorite ever Sex and City moment is when Miranda's watching Steve's mom in the bath.
Oh my God, like, she has the best moments. She's the best in terms of emotional. The bits where I've literally cried has been that bit in the bath. I think her on Brooklyn Bridge. And then even last night, I just feel when I was watching the series, I was like, maybe it's just the actress. She's just a good actress in her
good
character.
Actress.
And I believe her when she's like upset. Like, I really empathize or something. So to have such an amazing character and then have her almost like this bumbling Pink Panther kind of idiot in the middle of it. Like, I didn't believe any of it. I don't believe that someone as
intelligent.
Sharp and intelligent would ever be that daft. And I don't know whether they were trying to capture something of the, you know, a lot of the, in the first series, the sort of the humor was in the embarrassment of situations, like of crazy sexual situations and them kind of freaking out in those situations a little bit. You know, I was watching one the other day. You remember when
you should know that in preparation for this, Jamie and I have been rewatching.
Oh yeah, I actually have. Like, I've watched the first three seasons again, which actually are the best of them. Which is another thing I really think as well is they emphasize too much the clothes too much. I know the clothes are important, but you know, it's become a big part of the show. But you cannot have icing and no cake. Do you know what I mean?
It's I don't know, but the way she was dressed going to book the funeral.
Oh yeah.
it was like she was going, I don't know, her dress was great. It was just, everything was so perfect and pressed and her hair and makeup were done and just, I don't know, it just didn't ring true for me at all. But
there was no...
Like you said,
it doesn't make you empathize with that person when they're, because you feel like, did they spend 2 hours picking out an outfit? Do you know what I mean? Which feels a bit off point. I don't know.
But as well, she just looks so expensive, doesn't she? All the like everything, her cardigan when she's lounging in the house, the wallpaper in the house is amazing.
I think like it is. Because funny watching the series, I think in series 2 and 3, they had a perfect balance of, you know, escapism, but then it still felt somewhat real. And I think just as time went on, when it moved into fully outside reality, I think something was lost, actually. I think, you know, but I mean, we've talked about the movies and stuff before, and I think the movies were worse again. I actually think, you know what, one thing I'll say with this, I thought the 2 episodes were way better than either series, either movie. Like, but that was
completely, I agree.
You know?
Yeah, way, like a million zillion, especially the second movie is dire.
Oh yeah. Oh, the second movie should never have been made. I mean, I've watched it a good few times purely for the laugh, and like literally with like, you know, bottle of rosé with friends and like laugh your way through it because it's so offensive. Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, just breaking it down to the section. First, I was delighted we got 2 episodes and they were 40 minutes each, so like really got like dived back into it. It was like a mini movie. It's like the bits where they were character-led stories, like where obviously Carrie's story happening, I think the bits where you have Miranda and Steve and the kid, like that all felt real and compelling and I was going with that. But there's this whole other thing where they were like listening to all these people who are saying like, oh, Sex and the City is of its time, you know, it's, you know, there's issues with it socially in terms of how they treated trans people and people of color and all this kind of thing. But they've just then decided, okay, we need to have, you know, representation throughout the whole show, which I also think, and which I think is a very good intention. The problem is, though, it's just very clunkily handled or something. I feel there's nuance there that could have been, they couldn't have gone more nuanced with it, where they've actually gone, like, I just can't believe they messed up Miranda's character so badly to have her, like, I don't believe that someone as smart, as intelligent as that is going to be that idiotic in their 50s. Like, I'm like, have you literally read anything in the past 20 years? Like, you'd wonder if Miranda's literally read any article over the past 20 years. That situation of her in the lecture hall, I just don't, I'm kind of going, why?
She wouldn't say that seats for the, she wouldn't say that.
Firstly that, and secondly, like, you just say, oh, I'm sorry. Like,
I know, they're lining her up for alcoholism.
Miranda?
Do you not spot that?
No. Oh, well, I thought just the bottle of wine was like kids' recital.
Yeah, and then at 11 a.m. she was having a glass of wine at the bar.
Oh.
I thought that.
I didn't actually click on that. I didn't at all.
This is Jamie with his glass of wine in front of him at 6 a.m.
This is coffee now.
Just a drop of Baileys.
Yeah. And how do you think about the pandemic? I'm very glad the way I feel that was the right thing to do. I'm so glad they just bypassed it and just kept it very, very small. I really
But they mentioned it. It's good.
Yeah.
Another thing I thought, which is like an aging thing, is all the men's voices have changed.
Well, Steve's voice has dropped.
Big's voice was kind of like deeper, and Steve as well.
Oh, there's hope for me yet. I'll get there. Maybe that's what I'm going to think about aging the next 20 years. I've always wanted a more gravelly, ponderous voice.
Best friend, Stanford.
Oh, yeah. Oh, poor Stanford. You know, in real life, he died in September after it was filmed. He's not going to be in season 2. Yeah, poor man. They obviously didn't expect him to die, so.
Jesus.
I can't believe we haven't mentioned the second biggest elephant in the room, second Samantha.
At the start, I thought they were being real bitchy, did you?
I thought the reason for her being gone could have been, once again, I'm like, where were the writers? I feel everything was in place to be as it could, but I felt like, firstly, with the writing, the exposition at the start was ridiculous. I feel like these people haven't met each other in 20 years since the show ended, because it's like, so where's Samantha? And then, like, they talk to each other about Samantha not being there for 20 years, and I'm like going,
that wouldn't happen.
I had coffee last week. You wouldn't be talking like this.
Totally
it didn't
agree.
Feel natural. Then even...
And do you think it was, when they were talking about, like, oh, I've texted her, we've texted her, that they were talking about real life?
I definitely got a hint of that, yeah.
Yeah, so
and actually, that kind of worked for me. That bit kind of worked.
Yeah.
I didn't believe the whole, Carrie dropping her as PR and then they suddenly weren't friends ever again. It just didn't...
No, because she wouldn't do that. She'd be like, no. It's business.
And not only that, like, I mean, Samantha was one of the really loyal friends. Like, the other girls all had breaks over the year, you know, and where Samantha really didn't. She was always, you know, and Carrie thought she might have to have an abortion and things like that. Samantha was so supportive. So I just didn't feel... How you throw away a friendship for that just seems insane. I think they could have just made it more...
Flowers turned up.
Oh, I will say... After the end of the first episode to pretty much the end of the second episode, I was like sniffling away the whole time. Like, I was very bad. The flowers probably was the saddest bit of the whole thing.
Yeah. Even Dara's at he nearly cried. Oh. And it was actually really nice that they did it because it kind of redeemed them a bit, I think.
Yeah. Well, hopefully if Kim Cattrall is listening to us.
I know. Come back.
just even come back for the final episode of this. I mean, this is probably what gonna be three series max.
I
say they'll do two series or something. I don't see it. They have the challenge of, you know, they left it in quite a happy ever after place where the girls, you know, the three who were left, the women who were left, were all in happy relationships. And there's not a hell of a lot of conflicts you can write about happy relationships to sustain for series on end. You know, people who are happy are not good.
Yeah, well, so something's obviously
not representatives of fiction. So, as you say, maybe Miranda. Oh my gosh! But then it's kind of undoing all the image of the 90s, which is if Miranda becomes an alcoholic, then suddenly the cosmos of the early series start looking a little bit off.
Yeah, but that's like, isn't that life that you go through that kind of party phase and grow out of it? Mm.
I'd say, you know, also it's a lot of people just been through the pandemic. And I do think like my drinking patterns myself would have changed because of the pandemic. I mean, I would never have said, oh, I don't drink at home. Like I'd go out and drink. I'd be a social drinker. Mm. Whereas now I would have a glass of wine at home. Like I might be making dinner and pour myself a glass of wine. And I don't know if that's better or worse than the alternative. Because I'd probably...
It's better than going out like knacking.
It is, but it feels a bit like, I don't know, drinking... Like, John wouldn't be home at that stage, so I might be making dinner and John's going to be home in an hour and a half and I'll make myself a gin du bonnet. And I make my dinner, but I'm kind of going, then you're 90. Drinking. I know. The thing is, this is talk about alcoholic territory. I've drank them all. I'm kind of bored of every cocktail that I've drank over the years, so I was looking for something new and The Crown inspired me. kind of takeaway points for me. Oh, the other exposition thing, I suppose just as a writer, and as an editor, I'm looking at things where I'm kind of going, that's just excess, or it's just not trusting the viewer in this case to pick up on things, you know. And then like the Charlotte comes into the apartment and Lily's on the couch, which is also very natural. And then the dog's called Taylor. And I think Burton. And anyone who knows the whole storyline knows that's obviously Richard Burton. And then they had to say it a second time, Richard Burton, like as if,
They're not going to get it. Because you don't get it the first time, you're not going to get it the second time. If you haven't heard
There was a number of times where I was like, this is not natural conversation. You are wedging in plot points to emphasize. And I just feel you have to understand that your audience will get most of it and they might not get the odd thing, but they'll move along with it. I don't know. Yeah.
But as well, that's what's so good about the first season of Sex and the City is sometimes you don't get stuff the first time. It's when you watch it again, you pick up other things.
Yeah.
And they've kind of left all that out of this. Like, I mean, if you don't get everything the first time of this,
put down the drink you're having while watching it, I'd say. I thought Charlotte's character was quite unlikable, actually.
I was just going to say, I mean, this is exactly what they did to her in the movie. They're trying to turn her into this iconic character and make her out to be much more ditzy than she is. Like, she ran a gallery and, you know, she was an intelligent career woman, and now they've turned her into this, like, ditzy Upper East Side mother. I don't know. I don't like it.
She was kind of a smart woman who they'd always put in ridiculous situations, and then whereas this is, she's kind of a ridiculous woman.
Yeah. And even like, what's the husband's name, Harry, coming in the skates, it was just you don't need to do that.
He could have just been with her on the street. Do you know what I mean? He didn't need to be in the skates and the hat on and all the rest of it. Just felt a bit
like Charlotte is a daughter, just doesn't want to wear a dress, like
it's, and also just... the fight over the dress, I'm a bit like, I think Charlotte was in the wrong. I'm like, it's not like the daughter just pulled this out of a hat and suddenly, I mean, this would have been an ongoing situation. So if she went out and bought an Oscar de la Renta flowery dress for a girl who has obviously up to this point shown no interest in wearing them.
That's your problem.
That's very bad parenting. I think that's not appreciating your child's individuality, or it's actually controlling and narcissistic and not good. So They're going to have to do something to her to make her more likable, because...
That's what I mean. Like, she wouldn't be that narcissistic, I don't think.
No, it's the only reason why you're continuing with this character is because you have a sort of a bank of affection from an earlier series. I think if this was a new series and you started watching right now, you'd be like, well, I think nearly with all three of them, you'd be like, these are not likable people. I suppose Miranda's the most likable of the three. I even think Carrie's reaction to "What'll I do now?" is a weird... I found that line very Carrie at that moment. But I'm like, it's not about him dying. It's about how it'll affect her life.
It took ages to call the ambulance. Call them the
ambulance! I know. Like, the first thing... Like, I know they wanted the dramatic scene, but why is she trying to lift him? I would have just been like, 2 seconds, like...
I know. I don't know. It's a pretty shocking situation to be in. Yeah. But Dara's just like, if that ever happens, call the ambulance, then
come to me. Like, I know, I totally agree. On the one hand, I could shake it. I'm like, there's so many bits of it that were imperfect and flawed and...
But on the other hand, you secretly loved it.
But at the same time, I did. The bits that were good were actually very touching. You know, the bits that were... It's funny, the bits that I liked were the bits that they've managed to somehow keep something of the former series, which was... moments of friendship, moments of supporting each other, you know, the flowers with Samantha. I mean, it definitely didn't have the same wit, because actually you texted me last night, big masturbating, because you were watching it. I thought that was kind of cute. Like, but I mean, it would have been, you know, if it was Sex and the City, three people in happy relationships is going to run out of stuff pretty fast. Like, 10 years into, 20 years into a marriage, you know, how wild is it? Do you know what I mean? Ain't nobody got time for that.
But so, what do you think of the, do you like the title and just like that?
It's very Carrie-ish, you know, kind of does sound like a Carrie quote.
Oh, is she wearing a Carrie necklace? I forgot to look.
No, I read a couple of blogs afterwards about it, and they were saying she wore that kind of Heart of the Sea necklace at one point. Do you remember that kind of, like, it was like a diamond, it looked like, literally, I thought the old lady dropped it in the ocean in the end, you know, she was wearing that. I didn't see the Carrie necklace. Oh, I have to say, the music that they ended the first episode with was perfect. Oh, it just reminded me of the end of the first, like, series.
Oh, when she fixes the phone and says, John, John.
Okay, I have a list of things that people pointed out from the first couple of episodes, and we'll run through them. And
okay.
We'll agree. Bitsy Von Muffling, what did you think?
Oh, yeah. Who did she marry?
Do you remember? He's a...
Mr. Tinkle wants a tinkle. Yeah, and Sarah Jessica Parker's pregnant in those episodes, but she's wearing all the flowy dresses. She's actually pregnant.
Oh, okay, in real life.
Yeah, she has the short hair. That's those ones, isn't it?
Yeah, because Charlotte's trying to get pregnant, and Bitsy gets pregnant, and she can't believe it.
Yes, she's
50 years... She's like 50 years old and married to a F-word. They used the F word in the original series. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
See, that doesn't... People go on about, oh, it's not PC. I'm like, going, go through your WhatsApp chats. Look at the jokes that people say. They're totally on PC. Like, everyone would be cancelled if their private conversation was exposed. But for us to care about characters, they can't be perfect. They can't be PC and saying, you know, everything perfectly. As a gay man, that did not bother me at all, because I just felt that was... You know, it doesn't... Certain things... Maybe there is... I'm not speaking for everyone, I'm speaking for myself.
Yeah.
It doesn't bother me. Like, Little Britain having gay characters and, you know, them being stupid does not bother me. I didn't feel they were attacking gay people. They would just as easily throw a joke at a straight man, a straight woman, whoever. They were not... Like, they were very, very... There was an equality to their humour. I feel with Sex and the City, you know what I mean? They said un-PC things, but I think they would have said un-PC things about literally anything, you know, from dick size through to person's height to, like, going grey in the new series. I just don't...
Women, yeah.
But it's honest conversation, do you know what I mean? It's the truth of it. Okay, running down the list here. Oh, yeah, I was going to ask one question. You know the woman who came over at the funeral? She's blonde haired now. She was like, I forgive you.
Susan.
Yes.
Yeah. She's the one that she told her to leave her husband, remember?
And they went back, they got back together with the dog.
Together, he shouts at her. They shout all the time. Yeah.
Is that it? Do you think that's the dispute? Do you think she's going to come back into it more?
I don't know.
I kind of like the fact it wasn't explained. Isn't that brilliant?
Yeah.
Like, it was left, like, that's good writing. It leaves, sparks interest. Not every box has been ticked. I thought that was amazingly well done. What do you think of their glasses? Their style of glasses?
I loved Carrie's glasses.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. You hated them, did you?
But I thought they made her look older than she was.
Well, I still like them. I just like them.
I think it's something for me, they had a slight look of, do you remember the ones from there was like four pairs?
You corporation glasses.
On the, but there was definitely like back in the early 90s, I remember there was like, if you were, what do they call it, on the medical card, you had a range of maybe six pairs of glasses that you had to kind of pick one. And they felt a little like that. But that's just me. That's just my, you know, PTSD from the early 90s. What did you think about the brunch spot? Because obviously brunch was a huge thing, the locale.
It didn't really. No.
It was actually very ordinary. And I think that's one thing I to point out here. They'd have loved an iconic location, like something that felt like, oh, if I go to New York, I'd go there. It didn't have that kind of quality. I thought Carrie was dressed like an idiot, but that's just me.
Oh, the thing on her head?
Oh, like you're going for lunch. I mean, we're just out of a pandemic. I'm trying to get out of sweats after the pandemic. Like, I mean.
And her flowing trousers.
The trousers I could live with. It was just the hat. I just.
I didn't mind it.
Didn't you? Okay. I just, because I didn't even like the hat for the wedding dress. I didn't even like the wedding dress actually in the film. I thought it was way, I thought she looked better at the end in her little,
suit.
Like less can be more, definitely. But Carrie, that's not Carrie's approach on life. I'm not sure I really laughed at any point at any joke throughout the first two episodes. I was like, lol. You know, did you burst out laughing?
Big diet. What's to laugh about?
No, but I mean, just.
I know
jokes lining up were not exactly hilarious.
Well, the things that were trying to be funny was like Harry on skateboards. It's not funny.
No. I
actually thought some of the stuff with Steve was funny. Turning off his hearing.
Oh yeah. No, that was kind of good. I did actually laugh at that. I mean,
I know it's very Steve. It felt natural.
Mm. He's a great character.
You're right again. It's like back to the Steve and Miranda and.
They're a great couple. They're a great couple. Real. They feel real. I don't know, Big and Carrie never felt fully real after they got together for me. They felt a bit fairy tale-ish. Like it's like his personality, he's a personality bypass. I'm like,
I know, but there was that episode, the fairy tale episode where the one where she, first of all, it's the first time around to meet Steve. And then it's the one where she's in the bar and she thinks he said he's not gonna come and then he walks in the rain.
Denial. She's in denial.
And he's so gorgeous in that episode. So like brushing his hair and the rain's coming off it. And then Miranda runs out to Steve.
But the denial bit is a bit heavy-handed. That's very and just like that kind of style of writing.
I don't really mind that.
You leave denial like, oh, Jesus Christ. I mean, do they have to scour the whole of Manhattan? Is there anywhere called denial? Oh, there's a dump out in Brooklyn. We'll do it there just so it fits the story.
Bed, that was the other one, remember?
Oh, yeah. I'd say that was a place, though. But that was
It seems like such a place. Loads of beds.
Oh, yeah. Actually, kind of that worked for me because I felt there probably was a place like that in New York. Let me have a look here. Yeah, Harry and the crash helmet, people did not like.
It's just stupid. He looked really well, though. He hasn't changed a bit.
Oh, he did, yeah. But you know what? He's one of these people who looked older.
Older when he was young.
And he just hasn't aged since.
He looks like some child now.
Yeah.
I hate myself for caring about, like, I really wanted to see what everyone looked like. And so, like, not the words were supposed to be.
I did actually, I thought the joke with the condom was funny. Because I have had that situation where I've stood in a condom. I think it was probably my own or something. I don't think it was quite as bad, but I've definitely had that thing and it like sticks to your foot. It's definitely an unpleasant feeling. Yeah, in my younger years. So that was actually, you know, they say relatable. We don't read books, we read ourselves. I was like, well, actually, relatable. That has actually happened to me. Not my son's condom, which does feel a step up from that. Let me have a look here now. The recital, obviously Lily is a prodigy. We kind of expected that. She just was being lined up as the two girls. One's the rebel and one's like the perfect daughter.
But I loved the way the other sister was the first to jump out of her seat and clap her.
Yeah.
No, I thought they were going to maybe could have try and like pair, you know.
Like a resentful.
She was like.
Yeah. I mean, once the music started playing Big, then we knew what was happening to Big.
Oh, yeah.
Like it was very obvious.
Dara said it straight away. I said, He's like, that's hard to talk music if ever you're just.
Very true. But I suppose they needed something big to happen because I feel every time I use the word now, it's like, it's like the series, like, you know, what a big mistake. Fuck off, Carrie. I suppose it gives Carrie the opportunity to have a series of, now I don't want her, like, unfortunately, I know it would be the reality in real life, but I don't think I can have Carrie like the widow for like 10 episodes. Like, I think that would get quite exhausting to, you know what I mean? I don't think people watch TV to watch 10, 40 minute episodes of people grieving. It would just get very hard to watch that for 10 episodes in a row. So, but I don't know if it would be too soon in the series to have her.
Is there other things going to emerge from, remember the secretary said, I've got loads of stuff you have to go through. I was like, that wasn't put in there for no reason.
No. That was definitely shoehorned in. I suppose, is he as well off as she thinks? Is she going to end up back in that apartment again, her own apartment, I wonder? It could be a case of where she isn't going to be.
What's going to happen to the cars? Will she have a driver?
Like,
who's going to pick her up on the street at 1 o'clock in the morning?
I know, God. It's so relatable. But I suppose in terms of will we see by the end of the series, do you think she'll have a guy in her life at all? Like somebody who would be someone new introduced at all?
Yeah.
That'll be a possibility. It might, I don't know, will it feel too quick in the 10 episodes after 6 series of building up to the big marriage? I don't know.
I wish he didn't die.
In a way, I think Harry would have been a better character to kill. I'm not saying Harry is a real person, but I'm saying from
and
a writer.
The way you use the word kill.
No, what I mean, the writers.
Harry died, Harry.
What I mean is, it would have mixed up Charlotte's story, which really needs mixing up.
Yeah, and like, I just didn't like what they did with Charlotte at all. I think it's not who she is. But
there's no stories left for her. There's no compelling. She's now a rich woman living a great, comfortable life who can clearly buy whatever she wants and live the life she wants. There is no story left for her. Like, I mean, beyond the drama of her children, like there's very little to hold week after week of new scenarios emerging because I even know it myself. Like I live, now that I'm not even in my 50s, I'm in my late 30s, but I'm in a very happy, stable relationship and work is fine and work is good. Like you can write an episode about me every week. Like it's boring. Like it's, what's it? Oh, right, you're happy again. That's great. So, you know, I'm going to make up some scenario where like,
I was partner at the helmet there and give a skateboard. John,
exactly, you know what I mean? You know, I'm now going to create a situation where, you know, I'm going to be all bitchy because John leaves the house wearing a collar shirt I don't like. That's not a story. And it also just contradicts the character. The whole point was she learned the lesson through the first series of looks aren't everything, image isn't everything. She found the perfect guy in Trey. It didn't work out, you know, picture perfect. And then she finds the guy who isn't her like idea of perfection, but is actually perfect for her. Mm. So we've been through this narrative arc. So why the hell is she regressing into this character who she, you know, was not even at the end of the last series, but at the start of the very beginning? Yeah, they're going to have to, I don't know what they're going to do with Charlotte. I'd say they're going to really, really struggle. I think Miranda and Steve, there's plenty there to work with. I think they're, because the characters are so realized.
They sustain the show.
Yeah. Have we talked about the second episode? Other than the fact I cried a lot.
Yeah.
I was just very,
it's a very classy funeral.
Oh yeah, perfect, yeah. If anyone's like, if you're wondering what I want if I die tragically in the next near future, that's perfect. You know, if you can rent out like Imma in Dublin. And yeah, I'm definitely, I mean, I'm obviously very keen to watch more.
Oh, definitely.
Any predictions for the rest of the series? Give me a few.
Okay, Miranda's going to be an alcoholic, but I have a feeling this is what they're going to do. She's going to hook up with the presenter of Carrie's show, or else her lecturer.
Well, I mean, even from the early in the first series, you definitely got the vibe, you know, there was the feeling that that character could go that way. I mean, there was the lesbian, when she set up
on the date. Kissed her one, remember? But I mean, she obviously just didn't fancy her. That doesn't, you know.
Yeah.
Did you think that too?
Yeah, because I think they set up the conflict at the start, like it's a typical romantic kind of conflict. So, set it up, they hate each other to start with, and then Miranda will end up having a hard time with the college or whatever, and she'll meet up with Yuan to talk about it, or, you know, there'll be something. Steve, I think it would be interesting if Miranda slips up in terms of her marriage and has some sort of a relationship, because she absolutely bollocks Steve out of it for a very long period of time for his slip up in the film. So that is an area of her character that still has compelling progression. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? I think they can get more out of it.
And as well, Jamie, did you mean to say, did you spot the bar she went into was called Smith's Bar? Do you think they did that?
I did.
I know, I was wondering, was he going to be behind the counter? I was dying to see him.
That'd be great if he was there. I would have been delighted. And the fine thing is, Carrie, I don't know. I think there will be, hassles around the, you know, what happens when a partner dies, and then there's a whole shit show of, like, he's a businessman, so I'm assuming there's
something
to fall out around that.
Do you think another woman?
Oh, I never even thought of that. It'd be interesting, or the will.
I don't think so.
No.
I hope not.
No, I don't think, I definitely got the feeling they were happy, so.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see, his financial situation. That would be one they could definitely work on. And it would be interesting to see if, by the end of the series, is there an Aiden nod somewhere, or?
Yeah, I know. They already kind of ruined that in bloody Dubai.
But that was a non-story. That was a Charlotte, like, non-story. Okay, so. Final thoughts. Okay, we're short on time here now. We've got both got to start our days and do a day's work. Final thoughts on where we're at. Will you watch more?
Definitely. I really enjoyed it. Like, I know there's bits of it that are definitely flawed, but ultimately I enjoyed it.
Yes, I would agree. I feel I did enjoy it. And I mean, I probably had a cry in a way that not many bits of TV have in recent years. Like, I really did. I felt like I was crying out the pandemic and my sadness over our miserable Christmas.
I was really surprised that I cried, because I didn't think I would. And then suddenly I was like, oh my God, I'm crying.
Oh, I think the Samantha thing especially, you know, I definitely hated the feeling of, it's a big fear of my life. Like, I have friends now for decades, and the idea that something like that would happen, maybe that's triggers a sensitivity. I'd hate that.
Yeah.
And then I did think of, there's that bit where she looks at the cafe and the couple are there chatting, and like, that she's never going to have that again with Big. Like, and I thought that was really sad when she walks past. I thought, I did think, oh my gosh, like, if something happened to John, I would find that really hard to, like, walk into town and see people sitting outside the cafe where he and I sit on a Saturday morning, have coffee, and I get, like,
oh, stop.
I think I get really, really painful. I don't know. I don't know if I could, I'd find it really, would I have to leave the area, because I just don't think I could walk past, I could... I don't know. I did. Yeah. I found that really touching. So no, I will absolutely be watching more and more and more and more and more.
So have you prepared a la good look at the book? Can I just say, because I have one.
I did, but I didn't write it. Oh, can I just say, we actually touched on it. Yeah, I did. You knock yourself out.
Okay. My can I just say is, fucking does my head in. In all American TV shows, nobody closes their curtains. I know you wouldn't be able to see them. But they always like, oh, I can't sleep. I'm like, close the curtains, you might be able to fucking sleep.
Wow, I've never noticed that, ever.
I swear to God, I think it's because obviously it looks nicer if the moonlight streaming in the window or whatever, but nobody closes their curtains.
I suppose if it's dark and if actually the way it would be on screen, then... It's not going to be, you're going to be able to see anyone. You're not going to be able to emote Sarah with their face. So yeah, no, my, can I just say is Jean Dubonnet. That's drink for Christmas, everyone, by the way. The Queen of England, if you watch The Crown, drinks them. And I had been, obviously, espresso martinis. I know I mentioned a lot over previous episodes. I just had one too many of them, and I could feel them filtering out of my life in the summer. Not because there's anything wrong with them. I just had run their course. And the same gin and tonic, I've been drinking it years, and I just reached a point where I was like, I want something new. And I was like, looking down cocktail list going, oh, you know, Long Island iced tea, mojito. I was like,
oh, God, Long Island iced tea. That's my 20s summed up.
Or even like Aperol Spritz. I'm like, for me, that's a holiday drink. I still love it, but I don't feel like drinking that as my regular drink here at home.
I'm a fan.
So I found the Gin Dubonnet. And so it's one shot of gin. So use your measuring cup, because it's right. One shot of gin and two shots. I use the 50ml shot, so it's quite a strong drink. One shot of gin and to two parts, two shots of Dubonnet.
And what's the alcohol content of Dubonnet?
It's actually about red wine. It's not the end of the world.
Okay.
But I mean, you are diluting a strong alcohol with a moderate alcohol. Yeah. So like three of them in your, maybe that's why I like them. Like three of them in your crush. Like three of them in your probably done.
Is a Baileys.
Oh, lovely. Yeah.
It's really like nice.
Yeah. But this time of year, I must, I'm gravitating towards, I love red wine, but it does not love me.
Oh, my head, yeah.
Yeah, but I really do like warm fire. And it's just not a cold drink. And I think in the winter, I don't want, whereas the Dubonnet is definitely, I keep on saying it wrong. I've got this cross wire in my head. And I'm like, am I pronouncing it right? But what I get is like a nice crystal, you know, like that tumbler you would have got as your wedding yeah. gift, like the crystal, water crystal tumbler. That's you what
kill somebody with it.
Sorry. <yeah. laughs> Couple of cubes of ice, one gin. Two parts, Dubonnet, and also Dubonnet keeps in the fridge, which is great. So you can, like, it lasts 2 months. So, you know, it's not like you're bound to drink it straight away. But just very, it's almost like a summery, it's like a port, it's almost like a sherry or a port, but like with a bite, because you've also got a shot of gin in it. So basically, it's just a posh way to get
hammered.
Quite easily. Like three of them is absolutely your max.
That's a Saturday morning.
We didn't even mention a book. That's the good luck with the book episode. So we did actually say what was our Christmas book. So we might just literally name them here and just say, go read them. What one did I say, Sarah? I had it written down, I thought.
Christmas Carol, wasn't it?
No, that was you. It was you. Okay. Christmas Carol. Yeah, and mine was my Christmas book this year, which I have read. So it's, but I do think it is a dream Christmas book for the holidays, is Claire Keegan's Small Things Like These. It is a masterpiece of a book. Claire Keegan is obviously a master short story writer. It's been published by the New Yorker. I think had two collections out, but like they're now on the school syllabus. She wrote The Small Things Like These. For me, it's a novella. Like it's a very, very slim novel.
I've got it. I haven't had a chance to read it yet.
But it's so beautifully written. It's so touching and moving, and it's set around Christmas as well. Now it's definitely a dark story. There's very dark elements in it, but you know, it's all set in the weeks coming up to Christmas. So, and he's delivering fuel to it's set in a country town, like to the convent, and he gives fuel to like his neighbor who obviously is, you know, on tough times and stuff. It's my favorite book of the year, probably up of the autumn. It's my number one on the list. I really do wish it had won the book award for novel. I really, in a way, it's so slim that it feels like, the structure of it making under it, that line between sort of a short piece of fiction, like a short story and a novel, it's very on the line between the two. So, and I think some people would argue that it is in that short story category, yeah. But it's also, does that matter? That's just a label we're putting on something that's a beautiful writing.
Yeah, exactly. I agree.
So, yeah, my book of the autumn, get that for Christmas. It'll only take you maybe 2 hours to read. I'd advise you kind of enjoy it, like read 30 pages and put it away, because it's a beautiful, beautiful book. So that's my book for Christmas.
Brilliant. And I'm going to say for kids for Christmas, my kids are obsessed with Natasha McAvard's Reindeer Down, which is set like a little Santa story set kind of in Ireland and the Phoenix Park and with the deer and everything. And it's really nice.
Oh, lovely. So, brilliant. And as always, whatever you're reading,
whatever you're writing, good luck with the book.